Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you here on this Monday. Talk about a few different things. First, the Dallas Stars were beaten by the Chicago Blackhawks on Sunday night, 4-2. We'll talk about that game, the second to last game of the season. Those two teams will square off again later today, being Monday, and what will be the last game of the year for both those squads. We'll talk about that. All right, we'll talk about Roope Hintz, his nomination for the Masterton Trophy, and then we're going to finish up today's episode with a little excerpt from our locker room session yesterday. We were on Locker Room Live, got a really good question about kind of the Stars MVP of the season. And I kind of went through a couple of different parts about it, so we'll chop that in. That's how we're going to close today's episode, so make sure to check that out, and make sure to check us out next time we are live on the Locker Room app. Today's episode brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. Let's go ahead and dive into last night's game. We'll start there. The Dallas Stars beaten by the Chicago Blackhawks 4-2. This was, of course, the first game that the Dallas Stars played this year where they were officially eliminated from postseason contention. They were eliminated when the Carolina Hurricanes were beaten 3-1 by the Nashville Predators on Saturday. So the Stars went into this game with nothing to play for in terms of playoffs on the line. We heard before this game that we're notified before this game and not unexpectedly that Roope Hintz, Tyler Seguin would miss the final two games of the regular season. That came down after we got word after we got the confirmation the Stars were eliminated. That was not surprising. We talked about that on this show, right? That we knew that as soon as the Stars were eliminated from postseason contention, if that didn't be the case, like it ended up being, that they would probably sit a few guys that were banged up or missed a significant amount of time with injury this year, because there's no need to risk them, right? There's no need to risk playing them further and especially with nothing on the line in terms of success, right? I mean, winning these two games, losing these two games, in the long run, really not going to be that impactful. Yeah, it is Chicago, so you'd like to beat Chicago your last two games of the season, just because you are going to play them in your division next year. But at the end of the day, win, lose, really not going to be not going to change the course of your season or next season or anything like that. So you might as well not risk them, and that's exactly what the Stars opted to do. Was honestly a little bit surprised that it was just those two. There's been some other guys have to be banged up. So I was surprised not to see maybe two or three other names added to that list. But with only two games left, it's also not like the positives were that big also. It's not like we're talking about a two-week stretch where those guys are going to be playing meaningless hockey. We're talking about two games. Hintz, obviously, we know his well-documented injury, so no surprise there. Seguin obviously came back. We would anticipate that he was 100% because that was always the word, that he was not going to come back until he was 100% ready to go. That being said, there's no need to risk it. Let him continue to just get stronger, get fitter, get more prepared for the start of next season. No reason to risk it this year, so no surprises when it comes to that. Chicago struck first in this one. Mackenzie Entwistle, great name. Gets his first of the year, 6 minutes, 23 seconds into the first period. Patrick Kane picked up his 50th assist of the season. It was 1-0 Chicago. Stars answered about 3 minutes later. Denis Gurianov assisted by Jamie Benn. Those two have been better over the past month or so. That's been good to see that they've been a little bit more confident, a little bit more impactful. They made it 1-1, but then less than a minute later, Brandon Hagel gets his 9th of the season for Chicago, makes it 2-1 Chicago, and then Alex DeBrincat on the power play gets his 30th goal of the season at the 18:24 mark. It was a 3-1 Blackhawks lead going into the second period. Second period, pretty boring, to be frank. There was really not a whole lot that went on in terms of second period. Stars would get back to within a goal early in the second period. 2 minutes, 16 seconds in, Mark Pesek makes it 3-2. Stars gets his third goal of the season, but Dallas couldn't muster anything past that. And then Alex DeBrincat sealed it just before the 17-minute mark, his second of the game. Makes it a 4-2 Blackhawks win. The Stars did outshoot the Blackhawks 39-25 in this one. Won 57% of the faceoffs. You could really make the case that they were very much in a position to win this game. Anton Udobin did not look great in this one, which is disappointing because I think there's a greater than zero chance, far greater than zero chance, that this could have been his last appearance in Victory Green. Obviously, we've documented, pretty well documented on this show, the Stars goalie situation going into next year. They're going to have to make a decision somewhere. They can't carry Ben Bishop, Anthony Dobin, and Jake Ottinger into next season. That just is not going to work, and you can't punish Ottinger and send him back to the AHL when he's been better than Anthony Dobin for a large part of the season. And, you know, when you look at that list, Anthony Dobin is the most movable and the least valuable to the future of the franchise. So it likely was his last appearance. He only stopped 21-25. Did not look phenomenal last night for Dallas. We would expect to see Jake Ottinger in net tonight. So disappointing way to probably, I think, end Anthony Dobin's tenure with the Dallas Stars. Just, you know, it was against the Chicago team. He was playing 10 rookies. And unfortunately, he wasn't quite to the level that we know he can be. You know, positives from this game: Gurianov picks up another goal, Jamie Benn with another point. Those guys started to find it towards the end of the season. Hopefully they can kind of continue to build on that momentum going into next year, because the Stars are going to need it. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room in terms of adding to this team. We'll talk about more of that later on into the offseason and stuff. But, you know, the reality of it is that the Stars need guys that are currently here to perform next year, because there's not some big savior that's going to come in and completely reshape the franchise next season. There's just not room for that. So the Stars are going to need some help from those two guys. They played better. Hopefully they're able to continue that moving down the road. You know, these two teams are going to face off again tonight. I would like to see the Stars come out and play, you know, play with a lot of energy, play with a lot of fight, play with a lot of passion, and go win the final game of the season. No, it's not going to mean anything in the long, long run. But I'd like to see Dallas go do that. You know, even if they lose, they're not going to fall behind Chicago. They are going to be finished fifth in this division. So it's just, you know, go win. Go finish the season on a positive, and then you look ahead to next year. And you heard the comments from a lot of players talking about being eliminated from postseason contention, and it's tough. You could tell it was tough on a lot of those players. So, you know, I imagine that finding the energy and the drive for last night was not easy, but I'd like to see Dallas, you know, and it, like I said, they outshot them 39-25. They won the faceoff battle. They didn't have a power play opportunity. They were 1-for-2 on the kill. They didn't play horribly last night, but I want to see him finish with 2 points. Just give us something positive to remember as the everlasting memory as we enter into the off season, and enter into a postseasonless off season here in basically 48 hours when it comes to the Dallas Stars. Let's step aside real quick. We come back, we'll talk a little bit about Roope Hintz, his season. He was also the Stars nominee for the Bill Masterton Trophy. We'll talk about all of that right around the corner here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we do, though, man, day trading, it can be a lot of fun. We hear that stonks, memes, rocket ships, stuff going to the moon. But if you want your investment and your long-term wealth to make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. There's decades of data that show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They've got the right tools for every portfolio. They've been trusted with over $20 billion worth of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences you control. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. That's WealthFront.com/LockedOnNHL. To start growing your savings, go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnNHL. Get started today. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast. I want to talk a little bit about Roope Hintz, and he was the Stars nominee for the Masterton Trophy for the season, and I think he's a very, very fitting nominee. Roope Hintz finishes the season with 43 points in 41 games. That's all while playing the year with a lower body injury. Essentially, it looks like it's a groin injury that is going to require surgery this offseason. He was he played through that pretty much all year long. We know the saga of, you know, they were the Stars were up front. He's going to be a game time decision almost every single night. That was the case. He played a lot more than he didn't, but he played the season injured, not just hurt, injured for most of the year. Matthew DeFranks has a really nice story over on the Dallas Morning News, dallasnews.com, about this. And it's just the quote from or his little intro kind of thing on the tweet. In need of surgery to repair an injured groin, but nonetheless a point per player game force, a point per game force on the ice. Roope Hintz is this team's Masterton Trophy nominee this season. Very, very understandable nominee. You'll hear this in the next segment. Remember, we're going to finish today's show with an excerpt from our live locker room show when I was asked about the most valuable player to the Dallas Stars this season. And you'll hear me talk about this a little bit. I mentioned Roope Hintz, but he was the most impactful player, I think, when he was on the ice versus when he was not on the ice for this Dallas Stars team this year. I think he was, at a lot of times, I think he was the best player that Dallas Stars had this season. Obviously, a point-per-game player this year, the only point-per-game player on this Stars team, unless you count Alexander Radulov, who only had only played 11 games, had 12 points in 11 games. Obviously, we won't really count that. So, really, the only point-per-game player the Stars had, 15 goals, 28 assists in 41 games. He was a plus 13, had 18 points on the power play, shot over 16% on 92 shots, had a game-winning goal. He was a force to be reckoned with, He has emerged, I think, as the forward building block of the future for the Dallas Stars. I think he surpassed Denis Gurianov very comfortably. Jason Robertson's up there, but I think, you know, Hintz is, you know, kind of long-term production. You know, obviously he did this last year too. Really kind of cements him as the guy for the Dallas Stars moving forward. You know, you look at his career, 2018-19, he was a 22-point player in 58 games. Comes back last year, 33-point player in 60 games, but he led the team in goals. Or he was second on the team in goals, pardon me, with 19, but he was a plus 3. We saw him start to emerge. You go to the postseason, he was influential in the Stars' postseason last year, 13 points in 25 games. And he came back this year, and he was even better. And it feels like he's kind of found it. And that's not the reason I don't think this is an anomaly is this isn't a 28, 29-year-old player all of a sudden going from a half-point-per-game player or, a little bit above that to a point-per-game player. This is a 24-year-old. You know, this is he's not even really played a full, 75, 80-game season, out of 82. He's played 58 in 2018-19, 60 in 2019-20, and then 41 of what will be 41 of 46 this season. So he's missed some time. He's dealt with some injuries, but it feels like if he's just on the ice consistently, this is what he can be. Is he a point-per-game player moving forward? Maybe, maybe not. But I think it's fully expected. You can fully expect him to be, if he, across maybe a 70-game season, to be a 55, 60-point player if he played 70 out of 82 in a full 82-game campaign. If he played every single game, I don't think it's unreasonable to consider him a 70-point player during a regular season, which I think is really, really good for the Stars team, because I don't think there's a whole lot of them on this team right now. I think Tyler Seguin fully healthy is up there in that category. I think maybe Joe Pavelski. I think maybe Jason Robertson. But even then, Joe Pavelski would have to prove that this year wasn't just kind of a blip, that the decline he seemed to be on was in fact a blip, not this year. And Jason Robertson's going to have to come back and prove it next year when he's going to have more focus. He's going to continue to be matched up against other teams' top guys. His year's going to be tougher. He's going to have less of a focal point because they're going to have some injured guys back. But beyond Hintz and Pavelski, Robertson, Seguin, I don't think there's anybody else on this team that's going to produce at that kind of level. And so, and we're talking point per game. I think Hintz is maybe one of, I think it's Hintz and Seguin that are point per game players potential going into next season. So I think he's an incredibly, incredibly important player for the Stars team. He's only 24. I think he is the future for this team. I think he's got some, his skill set is really, really enviable. I mean, he's fast. He's a good skater. He's creative. He works incredibly hard off the when he doesn't have the puck, is like he is when it, like he does when he's on the puck. He can match up with a couple of different. Positions with a couple of different types of lines, right? We've seen him play with different types of players and still have success. He can be on the power play. He's pretty solid in the faceoff dot. He's not a small guy either, even though he's speedy and he's dealt with some injuries. He also takes a bit of a beating. You know, he's 6'3", 220. He's not a little guy by any stretch. So I think when you look at him and look at the future, you kind of look at Roope Hintz and go, okay, I think this is a guy that we can build around moving forward. This season, his Corsi 4 percentage at even strength was a 55.4, which was one of the highest on the Dallas Stars. You look at the leaders for the Stars this season. Joe Pavelski, among everyday players or guys who were in the lineup pretty much every night, Joe Pavelski led at 57.4. Jason Robertson was second at 55.9. Then you had Hintz at 55.4. Radulov had a 60.1, but obviously only played 11 games. And then Joel Hanley actually had a 55.9, but he only played in 34 games. So, but that being said, I think you can see the influence that he has when he's there and on the ice and what he can produce. Like I said, he's pretty decent on the faceoff dot, around a 49-50% faceoff guy, and he's going to take a lot of them. And he skates, you know, 18 minutes a night. He's a plus in terms of offense and defense. I think he's effective defensively. I think he's very good offensively. I think this is a guy that the Dallas Stars are going to try to build around moving forward. And you start with next year and you look at next season, and you, assuming Joe Pavelski's here, which is not that, I don't think that's a big assumption by any means, but it has to be stated, obviously. I believe his no movement clause expires at the end of the year, so the Stars would have to make the choice to protect him in the expansion draft, but I think they absolutely will. I don't think they're going to not protect him. If they don't, you know, does Seattle take him? Maybe, you know, he'd be obviously a huge, huge name, a huge, huge draw for them, but he's only on a one-year deal, a lot of money. The Stars, you know, I don't think the Stars, I think that he provides more value on a one-year deal at $7 million than he does getting off of that deal for a year at $7 million. I don't think the Stars are going to be able to go find somebody to replace him if he leaves. But all that aside, assuming Pavelski's here, well, that's up for another day. Pavelski's here, Robertson, Pavelski, Hintz. I think those three guys start the year next year on the same line. And those were your three best forwards this season. Those three guys were your three best forwards. And now you've got those guys set. So you look at your other three lines and you're going, okay, here's how we piece this. Who do we piece together here? We've got Radulov. We've got Sagan. We've got Ben. We've got Gurianov. We've got Kiviranta. Sagan, Gurianov, Radulov, Ben, Kiviranta, not to mention guys like Delandria, obviously Faxa, Dickinson. You know, you start to look at those guys. I mean, that's eight guys. There's nine more forward slots, and that's eight guys I just named, right? That are all quality players, especially at the top end. Radulov, Ben, Sagan. Then you got Gurianov, Dickinson, maybe Kiviranta on the line, and then you're talking about just your checking line of putting together a checking line of Faxa, and then whoever else. So. It'll be really, really interesting. But I think you can expect big things out of Roope Hintz moving forward. I guess that's just the gist of it. I think he's a more than deserving candidate nominee for the Masters Trophy for the Stars. He was influential and he played obviously in a lot of pain all year long and was very, very productive. Another little weird, interesting note about the Masterton. This was noted by a few different people, but the Stars there, I believe there are five former slash current, including if you include Roope Hintz, Dallas Stars in the Masterton nominees. Val Nichushkin, Corey Perry, Jack Campbell, all in there, just to name a few of those. So interesting group for sure, and for the Dallas Stars. But I think Hintz more than deserving nominee for the Stars, and he's going to be an influential player for this team. I think he's alongside Tyler Seguin is probably the two most talented with experience and the numbers to back it up, forwards on this team with Jason Robertson maybe not too far behind at this point. So that's gonna do all for the live portion of today's show. Now we were on Locker Room yesterday. I got asked a question about this Dallas Stars MVP by Davis. I got that cut out and we're gonna insert that. I want y'all to listen to that, but we're gonna insert that into in the episode. But you're not gonna hear from me again. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnStars. Make sure to follow personal account as well at Kenneth_Nash19, and to follow us wherever you listen to your podcast so we show up in your feed every single day. We'll jump to that wrap-up segment talking about the Dallas Stars MVP. Before we do, what's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Because I know you've got a favorite because you've heard me talk about it. And there's no way you've heard me talk about these amazing protein bars and you haven't tried them for yourself. They've got 9 delicious flavors and they rotate in these limited edition flavors. They're all so good. My favorite of the limited edition, they got the cookies and cream, phenomenal. Brownie, coconut brownie chunk, phenomenal. But their regular flavors are great too. Mint brownie, great. Double chocolate, great. There's something for everybody. My favorite flavor overall, still that cookies and cream though. If you haven't tried the flavors, or if you haven't tried it yet at all and you want to try them, get a mix box. You get 2 of each of those 9 flavors: coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Go check those out. Most of those flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar with only 4 grams of net carbs. Try today and order today and try it out. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your next order. Promo code LOCKED15 gets you 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Also want to tell you about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing and you can track all the action online at Bet Online. This past week had a ton going on. You had the NFL draft, you had the Kentucky Derby. There's so much action for you to get in on. Get the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device today, receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And now to our live from yesterday Locker Room segment. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Check this one out, though.
This is a Locker Room production.
Y'all have any questions or anything like that about tonight's game or anything before we wrap this up?
I got a season-long one because it was a little bit of a discussion. Who's your team MVP this year?
Team MVP this year. I'll start with this. I'll say it's tough because I would say hands down Roope Hintz, but he missed a little bit of time. Not a ton, but he did miss a little bit of time. And so, you know, not knock him for that, but I think it's got to be Pavelski just because he was constant. He was in the lineup every night. He was playing big minutes every night. He was playing on the power play every night. And even when things were going poorly, he was still there. Now, obviously, there were some ups and downs in production, but I feel like he was the most important player or most valuable player because he was there the whole time. Now, I'll say the most influential player, which is kind of a cop-out, was Roope Hintz. I think there's a big, big difference when they had Roope Hintz in the lineup, when they didn't have him in the lineup. But in terms of value over the course of the season, I think it's got to be Pavelski just because he was there every single night.
Yeah. The main 3 players in the group chat that I was talking about this with were Pavelski, Hintz, and Robertson. And the thing with Robo for me was it was like he just came on in the last 2 months, and so it was hard to say, yeah, no, he's the MVP for the whole year. It's like there were a couple straight otter people, but I was like,
it's weird when we talk about MVPs and everybody's got their own definition. So that's why it's so difficult. That's why I said, you know, I think Roope Hintz was the most influential because I think he was in the lineup. The Stars were much better with him than without him. If there's a player I was most thankful for, it was Jake Ottinger. Because I think if he was not at the caliber he was this year would have been really ugly. And we would have been having these conversations about next year a month ago. There's kind of those weird, you know, subcategories of how you perceive value with players. But
I think those four names you listed, I think, were probably some of the most impactful, if not the four most impactful players, especially relative to what we expected them to be doing this year coming into it. We expected nothing really out of Jason Robinson. We expected, hey, hopefully Jake Ottinger has some good starts, not, oh, hope Jake Ottinger outperforms Anton Udobin for most of the year. Pavelski, hope he can produce better than he did last year, but that bar was somewhat low. Hintz, hope he can perform like he did, hope he can put it all together and be as consistent. I guess Hintz probably had the highest bar coming into this year out of those four. I think they all kind of exceeded where they were at. So, we'll be back next week. And I want to start incorporating this into the show. So I'm going to start cutting pieces of this. I record it and I cut pieces of this out and we'll put them in the show from moving forward. So, but thank y'all for jumping in, Chris. Thanks for jumping in, asking some questions and appreciate it.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.